Cress, brother and sister, D.H. Oakland, California, July 27, 1906. Dear brother and sister Cress, the camp meeting has now been in session for several days. At every meeting, the large tent has been crowded full of interested listeners. We have good speakers who understand the scriptures, and the meetings have been considered excellent. I thank the Lord that He has blessed me abundantly with strength. I remembered that last year, after speaking in the large crowded tent in Los Angeles, I was poisoned by the many breaths and was sick for weeks. But on Sabbath, when I was asked to speak in the large tent here, I said, "I will not worry. I will commit my soul and body to God and ask Him to give me distinct utterance." I spoke for 1 hour and a quarter and was obliged to keep my voice raised in order to be heard in all parts of the tent. But I had not one feeling of weariness from beginning to end of my talk. The Holy Spirit refreshed me, and I was able after speaking and taking my bath to take up my pen and write many pages in my diary. This experience was repeated nearly every day throughout the meeting. Once it was my privilege to speak in a smaller tent to the young people. I had great freedom, and the tender Spirit of God was with me. The Savior seemed to be close beside me. I dwelt upon Christian experience and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Many hearts were touched, and I felt much refreshed. I look upon this chapter in my experience in my 78th year as a miracle of Christ's working. We shall have peace and thanksgiving for the lines of work that were carried forward at this camp meeting. My soul is thankful, and I praise God with all my heart. The Lord Jesus recognizes the value of a sincere belief in His personality, though unseen, save by the eye of faith. Jesus was seen many times by His disciples after His resurrection. He appointed a place in Galilee where He would meet them. There He gave them the great gospel commission: "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Mark 16, verse 15, Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. There is no excuse for those who depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They make their own choice. In the face of abundant light and evidence, they choose to cling to their own sophistries. I feel intensely sorrowful when I see some of our brethren in Battle Creek taking a course that is leading them away from the truth, for I have had a presentation of the first great apostasy in the heavenly courts. The warnings of the Holy Spirit have been disregarded, and there has been a persistent work of deception. Jones has permitted himself to be used as the voice of Dr. Kellogg. It is our privilege to believe in a personal Father who has made the gift of His only begotten Son, that a fallen world might repent and accept of a personal Savior and be permitted to eat of the leaves of the tree of life. Thank God, we may uplift the Savior before the people, as has been done at these meetings. The work will advance more and more as we humble our hearts and bring our wills in submission to God. Some will place themselves under Satan's rule, but we will not fail nor become discouraged. Brother Cress, I am thankful that you have not been deceived by the representations of Dr. Kellogg. At the Berrien Springs meeting, the Lord showed what He was willing to do for Dr. Kellogg. The most blessed invitation was given to him, but the doctor wrenched himself away from the outstretched hand of Christ. It seemed that in the agony of my soul I should die. I have seen how Dr. Kellogg has united with the archdeceiver in using a hypnotic influence upon souls to deceive them. Those who sustain him in his course are guilty with him of resisting the Spirit of God. Such blindness of understanding seems strange in one who has known the truth for this time. Jones has a theory of the truth, as expressed in his books. He does not repudiate these, but he virtually goes back upon their teachings by the course of action he is following. Dr. Kellogg places himself before the world in the position of one who is greatly abused. He writes many letters, as he has to you, making such a presentation as would call forth sympathy. But he is still at work with all subtlety. I have felt compelled to warn our people, for they do not understand his cunning. I have seen that the leaders in the medical work in Battle Creek will try to secure possession of the tabernacle. Their scheming is so subtle that I greatly fear that this may be accomplished. If Dr. Kellogg can destroy the faith of any of our people in the testimonies, he will do it. He sometimes takes the nurses and others, sometimes alone in the night season, and talks with them for hours, framing a tissue of falsehood, to make them believe himself a much abused man. Some of these poor souls have heard the truth, and they wish to get out of Battle Creek. They realize that their safety consists in leaving the place where they are so deceived. The doctor will take advantage in every way to make an impression upon human minds, in destroying all confidence in the testimonies. If we are not constantly on guard, he will destroy by his sophistries, if possible, the very elect. And those associates who have upheld him will have to answer before God for their individual course of action. The messages of encouragement given to Dr. Kellogg have been many. They have been tender and true, but there have always been conditions involved. We might say much more than we do, but we do not wish to expose before the world the things we might say. But we should, so far as possible, overcome the impression that we sustain and honor one who follows such a course as has the doctor and his associates. Our only object in publishing any of these things has been to save some of our own people from being destroyed. Long ago, some thought that the time had come when we must take decided action to break the spell. Friends of the doctor were visiting our churches, acting as spies to work up a sentiment favorable to his interests. They claimed that he was in perfect harmony with the message as we believe it, and that he believed the testimonies. A work of deception was being carried on. Many of our people were becoming confused. I said to those who urged immediate action, "Do not act hastily. It will be better to wait until Dr. Kellogg and his associates take the position that they do not believe the testimonies. When this time comes, we are to be prepared with suitable matter for publication to meet the issue." This was done. Meetings were held in Battle Creek, at which the testimonies were presented in a very objectionable light. The testimonies were practically repudiated. But matter was ready for publication. Our people on the right side took a strong, affirmative position in the name of the Lord, and the widespread deception was arrested. One of the leaders in Battle Creek said that the lid of the kettle was lifted too soon, that had they waited a little longer, they might have had nearly all the churches on their side. We shall do all in our power to counteract the deceptive work of the enemy. If we will put our whole trust in God, He will keep us in His truth.